Do you remember last week when we were thinking about Brother Krumacher that I said Brother Krumacher went home to where his family was and he preached in the area where he had grown up and he preached a message that got him in trouble. And he preached, anybody remember the text where he preached from? Galatians chapter 1 is where we're reading today. Galatians chapter 1. He got in trouble because he was saying the same thing the apostle did. Let's preach the true gospel, the one gospel. There's no other gospel. Galatians chapter 1, reading there at the beginning of the epistle in the first verse. Let us note carefully God's holy word. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that interesting? Because people are still trying to tell us today, some of these emergent church people in the mega churches are telling us that Paul and Jesus preached a different gospel, not the same gospel that each other. Well, what does Paul say? I'm an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no true peace without first the reception of grace. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins? That is Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and of our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And if you know anything of the evil of this present world, then I'm sure you'll be glad to give glory to God for the purpose of delivering us from our sins and from this evil world. Verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, anathema. And there's what our brother Krumacher was preaching. Verse 9, and as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Now then, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Wow, it's not a gospel about man and how man can feel better about himself. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where did I get this gospel? I did not learn this gospel from anyone but Jesus Christ. If you remember, the Apostle Paul was for 2 years in Arabia. And as he was there in that desert land, he met with the Lord. And the same Lord Jesus Christ who had met him on the road to Damascus was the one who communicated to him the gospel. He didn't learn it from Peter or John or James or any of the rest of them, as he goes on to say. I trust the Lord will bless his word as we consider today what God has done in the New Testament and in the church, even from the Reformation. We're going to think a little more about this chapter 1 of Galatians. The great reformer, Martin Luther, wrote on this verse 9 in his famous commentary on Galatians that's sitting back there with those other books. Luther said on verse 9, "As many as think the Pope to be the judge of the Scripture, or the Church to have authority over the Scripture, are accursed. Those who think the Church has authority over this book, or the Pope has authority over this book, are accursed, which thing the Popish schoolmen have wickedly taught." Now, those are interesting words of Luther. The Popish schoolmen. Who are these Popish schoolmen that Luther referred to? They were the Roman Catholic scholastics of the Middle Ages. And you could call them the Roman Catholic theologians because their view of theology is still that of the Roman Catholic institution to this day. Who were these men? Some of these men you probably have heard of. Thomas Aquinas, Peter Abelard, John Duns Scotus, and John Scotus Erigena, and others. Now, what did these men believe? Luther said they definitely don't believe the gospel. Those men taught the very opposite of what the Scripture teaches. They taught that a sinner, by his good works, can actually merit or deserve salvation. Now, I hate to tell you, but some of the leaders of the mega church and the emergent church in America are saying the same thing, that those who deserve to be saved will be saved. In that context, I will not be saved because I don't deserve it. I could never deserve it. Now, this is basically what the Protestant Reformation was all about. Roman Catholic theology was teaching the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It did not originate with you. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." If you could work your way to heaven, if you could pull yourself up some way, then you could say, "I did a good job, didn't I? I'm pretty good at this." Romans chapter 3, verse 20. "By the deeds of the law, that is, by the works of the law, shall no flesh be justified in His sight." That's what God says, not by works. The Jesuits, the so-called Society of Jesus, was made an official arm of Roman Catholicism by the Pope in the year 1540. The purposes for that society's being established as a Roman Catholic order was first to uphold and enhance the absolute authority of the Pope and the so-called Roman Catholic Church. The second of the purposes is to end the Reformation by destroying Protestantism. Wow. And here we are, about 500 years later. We have learned during the last month how the Jesuits infiltrated the German universities and theological schools in order to change their doctrines. And they did that by changing the method of theological education. You may remember that. The Jesuits had, and they have no respect for any civil government except the authority of the papal states and Vatican City, the Pope, the authority of Rome. For this reason, numerous countries around the world, several in Europe, and other places, expelled the Jesuits when they realized what they were up to. It got so bad that even one of the popes abolished the Jesuits for a while. His name was Pope Clement the 14th. And in the year 1773, he abolished the Jesuit order. And he said, I know what they'll do. They will kill me for doing this. And they did. Wasn't long after that, he was poisoned. And then in 1814, Pope Pius VII reestablished the Jesuits and pronounced a curse on anyone in the future who would dare to abolish them. Now, that's interesting. 1773, Jesuits were reestablished. Was there any foment going on anywhere in the world in the 1770s you can think of? There were some things going on over here. You remember? In 1776, after that, there was a Declaration of Independence up there in Philadelphia. You remember that? Well, our president, John Adams, wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson shortly after that. And he said, now that the Jesuits have been reestablished, they will come into this country disguised as doctors, lawyers, teachers, and professionals of every type. If ever, these are not my words, these are President John Adams' words. He said, if ever there was a body of men who merit eternal damnation on earth and in hell, it is the Jesuits. U.S. President John Adams said that. Now, the great number of Jesuits in our country today are so proud and are so bold that they even publish this statement in the books that they publish in America. Ha ha, look what we're doing. You know, here we are. We're not going to cause anybody any trouble. We don't do anything but good things. Okay, the great number of Jesuits that have taken over our educational system in America, changing the very philosophy of American education, published this statement. We have this month thought about Germany. In 1872, the German Prime Minister, Otto von Bismarck, recognized the ruin that the Jesuits were working in Germany. And so in 1872, he said, no more. The Jesuits are now banned from our country. And the Jesuits remained banned from Germany from 1872 until right after World War II. Now, that's interesting. World War II. We have a book in our church library that Brother Yarbrough supplied us called Hitler's Pope, The Secret History of Pope Pius XII. Now, this is not a secret because there are many books published like this about the man who was working with Hitler from the Vatican all during those things. And in this book, there are six chapters that tell about the Jesuits. The Jesuits had this pope canonized as a saint. Though his hands were dripping with blood of so many that were put to death in that period, the Jesuits had him canonized as a saint. Now, when the Jesuits were run out of Germany, many more of them came to the U.S. They quickly took over the universities. Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. was one of their first in the 19th century to take over. And remember, the Jesuits' purpose is to destroy Protestantism and to make everything subservient to the Roman Catholic institution and to the Pope. As they did in Germany, so they have done in the United States. Why was the philosophy of education in America changed? The shift in educational philosophy began in the 19th century, especially in our American universities and colleges. The present Jesuit general, also known as the Black Pope, his name is Adolphe Nicolas. He recently said that all Jesuits need to remember something. They need total adhesion to Loyola's great purpose. What is he saying? Destroy Protestantism. Stick to it, boys. We have got to destroy Protestantism by whatever means are necessary. The present Pope, you know where he's from? Germany. His name is Joseph Ratzinger. And recently there was a conclave, a gathering of the Jesuits in Rome, and the Pope, the German Pope, Joseph Ratzinger, spoke to them, and he said, I need you now more than ever. And what had their black Pope just said to them? We must have total adhesion to the great purposes of Loyola, that is, destroying Protestantism. The successes of the Jesuits are seen in America today. It's been a gradual thing, but it's very perceptible if you study it. The Jesuits' successes are really seen all across America. The great denominations that were once Protestant no longer are Protestant. And the vast megachurches of America that were maybe at one time sort of evangelical, such men as Robert Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral in California, even though he's not the minister anymore, he said, we've had a God-centered theology for too long in America, and we must have a man-centered theology to promote self-esteem and self-love. People are too down on themselves. Schuller mentored many of the other mega church and emerging church leaders who now use such things as bongo dancers in their worship. Dallas Willard preaches to thousands of people the human merit gospel. He wrote, and here it is. Here we go. He wrote the same thing that the Roman Catholic scholastics wrote during the Middle Ages. These are the words of Dallas Willard. The people who deserve to be saved will be saved. Dallas Willard and Richard Foster are now promoting a new monasticism in America. Contemplative Christianity. They have these retreats where they learn to contemplate, to meditate, and to visualize. If you simply go back and read Ignatius Loyola's spiritual exercises, I have a copy of them if you want to read them. He got to the place in his contemplations and his meditations and visualizations that he came in contact with a power, but not the power of righteousness. He came into contact with the occult powers of darkness. And that is what is going on today. They have these retreats, these so-called Protestants, and they have a Roman Catholic priest to come and teach all these megachurch ministers how to get refreshed and contemplatively to visualize what they want in the future. That is another gospel. It is not the gospel at all. Brian McLaren. You can go on the web. He's got so much on there. Brian McLaren teaches that everything in the Bible, he's a mega church leader up in Baltimore, and he says that everything in the Bible is uncertain. And I don't know if he's certain about that. He officiated recently in a homosexual marriage of one of his sons. It's okay, you know. Father, mother, God. Let's don't criticize anybody. These men are members of a postmodern heresy cult that uses Christian-sounding terminology while they attack and deny the inerrancy of the Bible. Some of them have gone beyond the social gospel. I heard one man say the other day that the Broken Back Church out in California, that church is promoting not just a social gospel, but a Marxist liberation gospel demanding total equality where the rich must be totally equal to the poor. And why are thousands of congregations on our continent in mainline denominations using the Alpha Course. The Alpha Course advocates self-love, self-esteem, and self-sufficiency and allows no criticism of Roman Catholicism or any other cult. I tell you, we have come full circle in America from the faith of our Reformed fathers. We have come full circle from the Reformation, where Luther stood, where the Reformers stood, where our forefathers stood, to where we are in this nation today. We have become like Israel. When Christ came to them, what did they want? They wanted freedom from their civil oppressors, but they did not at all desire deliverance from their real enemies, sin and ignorance and death and Satan. Paul warned the Galatians about another gospel, which is no gospel at all. The Judaizers opposed Paul and tried to make it look like he was preaching a false gospel. And you know, these men are telling us today, as they sit in the coffee shop, as they talk about their theology of the emerging church, the leaders are saying some things that sound very familiar to New Testament times. They are actually saying that Paul preached a different gospel than Jesus Christ preached. They say that Christ's gospel was the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. All right. What are they saying about the kingdom of heaven is at hand? They're saying then, just enjoy life and make the most of your life in this world, because God has a wonderful plan for your life. You have to have a positive attitude. You have nothing to worry about. Just think it, and it will be yours. They don't tell you the rest of what Jesus said. Jesus did indeed say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What word did He put right before that? Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They don't tell you that. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate and endeavor to walk the narrow way that leads to life and leads to heaven. They don't tell you that. They don't tell you that you must be born again by a supernatural work of regeneration, that there must be something taking place in your heart that is above and beyond nature. Paul said very clearly that he preached the same gospel that Christ preached. Look down in Galatians chapter 1, down at verse 11. He says, but I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He said, I wanted nothing of this, but Jesus Christ has brought me to it. And Jesus Christ has brought it to me. The Lord Himself told Paul in Acts chapter 18 to keep preaching what he was preaching. You look it over at Acts chapter 18. It's very interesting. Paul was preaching and he was being persecuted for what he was preaching. And he certainly wasn't preaching something different from what Jesus Christ had preached. Acts chapter 18 verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord. This is the same Lord Jesus Christ who spoke to Paul on so many occasions. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in the city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. I tell you, he was preaching the same gospel that Jesus preached. Otherwise, Jesus Christ wouldn't have told him, you keep preaching what I've told you to preach. Paul made it clear in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, that to rely on any other gospel than the gospel that he preached, to rely on any other than Jesus Christ whom he preached, would result in a divine curse. Any other gospel is not a gospel at all. It is the same false teaching that Dr. Martin Luther took his stand against in 1517. The gospel of man. He was standing against that gospel. He was standing instead for the gospel of Christ. That salvation is all of Christ. That salvation is all of grace. Sola gratia, all of grace. Grace alone. Sola gratia, sola fide, by faith alone, faith only. Sola Christo, Christ alone. Sola Scriptura, the Scriptures alone. Sola Dei Gloria, glory to God alone, for such a great salvation. Praise God for the Reformation. Let us be a part of the Reformation rather than being deceived by the counter-Reformation. Let us pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy truth. We thank Thee that the gospel that was preached by Isaiah and even referred to by the prophet David is the same gospel of Jesus Christ. We praise Thee for raising up the Apostle Paul and the other apostles to preach it. We thank Thee for raising up all those who stood through the centuries for the glorious gospel. We praise Thee for the Reformation. O Lord, we thank Thee for driving back the darkness and bringing forth the light. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt again, in our day, open the eyes of multitudes. Even these poor, benighted ministers who have only a form of godliness. We pray that Thou would even be pleased to bring them to know the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen.